This year's Alcan 200 snow machine race was marked by strong local participation, and Klukwan's new Heritage Center has an opening date. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Two police officers from Hoonah are on the job in Haines temporarily. They showed up last week on short notice and are greatly needed, according to Interim Borough Manager Brad Ryan. Lieutenant Bill Mills and Officer Jordan Welch are helping out for a while and were introduced at a recent assembly meeting. Sergeant Josh Dryden was flying solo for a week or so after Haines' newest officer, Brayton Long, accidentally shot himself in the hand while participating in a training exercise. Dryden is also currently the acting police chief. At the assembly meeting, Deputy Mayor Diana Lapham said Dryden and Ryan grabbed the bull by the horns to recruit help in a timely manner.
To have another community help us out when we have needed and we need the help for however long we need it is tremendous.
Mills and Welch are based in Hoonah but are on a rotating schedule filling in various Southeast communities when needed. Ryan added that Officer Long is back at the station on light duty and is recovering well. Meanwhile, a candidate for a permanent officer position is being considered. Chris Brown is from Washington and, if hired, could be on the Haines force by the end of the month. After decades in the works, the Jilkat Kwan Heritage Center in Klukwan is set to open its doors on May 14th. The date was in a letter sent out to donors who attended a benefit dinner and auction in October. In 2015, more than $2 million was raised through grants, loans, and private donations. The most recent chunk of cash came late in 2015, $300,000 from the Murdoch Charitable Trust, half of what they asked for. Last week, Heritage Center employees put a call out on their Facebook page for tour guides, dancers, and artists for what they anticipate will be a bustling tourist season. At the fundraiser in October, project director Lonnie Hotch said being so close to the finish line is a relief.
And we've always taken the approach of do what we can with what we have and just keep moving forward. And so it's worked for us. And it just seems like people are willing to get behind you when they see that.
Find a link to the Heritage Center's website at khns.org. If the Haines Ad Hoc Committee tasked with scrutinizing the minor offenses ordinance has its way, the long list of wrongdoings might get a lot shorter. The committee's recommendations have to get approved by the assembly, and there are still a lot of public meetings to go. But last week's meeting was a big step toward the goal of simplifying the ordinance. If the committee's recommendations come to fruition, one local law that would change is the prohibition of skiing on local roads. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has more.
Committee members rolled up their sleeves and got to work last week, making short work of the ordinance. They agreed with most recommendations submitted over the past several months by other groups like the Public Safety Commission and the Tourism Advisory Board. But when it came to Section 10, they decided to endorse scrapping the whole thing. It deals with local traffic laws and has about 80 different violations, including skiing on borough roadways. The majority of those traffic violations were adopted directly from Alaska statutes, and the committee agreed having them in borough code is redundant. Sergeant Josh Dryden was on hand to answer questions about public safety-related violations. He said the state infractions are usually correctable offenses. When a police officer writes a ticket that is in both state statute and borough code, the officer chooses which government gets the fine.
If I wanted to write a speeding ticket under borough code, so the borough would receive the money instead of the state, I would just put HBC, the code, instead of AS in the code.
So the borough could stand to lose that money from fines. But the fines are small, and Dryden said leaving them in code for the simple fact that they could bring in a few bucks is tricky territory.
Because I can't look at it like that, because that's policing for profit, and that is, you don't want to become known for that.
Committee member Margaret Friedenauer then asked Dryden if any of the money collected from Section 10 fines goes back into funding the police department. It doesn't, he said.
You can look at our income that we bring into the police department. It's not much.
If the assembly accepts the recommendation, it would mean that skiing on the shoulders or sidewalks of borough streets would be allowed. It would also tighten restrictions on driving a snow machine or ATV on the road. State law says that for the most part, it's not allowed. The committee went through other sections, sending a couple to the police department for review before making a recommendation. The committee will continue to discuss the ordinance and agreed that a public forum would be helpful. At the next meeting on February 4th, the committee will decide whether violation appeals should stay within the administration or go through the court system. In Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
Haines locals made a comeback in the 47th Alcan 200 snow machine race Saturday. 24 riders competed in the run from the Haines border to Desdiash and back. Half of them were Haines residents, which organizers say is the highest local participation in about 10 years. First and second place overall went to two local snow machiners, Chris Brooks and Jack Smith Jr.
It's a rush. It's a total speed from one end to the other.
Haines resident Sean McLaughlin was set up at the starting line Saturday morning with his Yamaha sled.
This will be my first time racing in probably 10 years.
So why did you decide to do it after so long?
It's a father-son thing now. I used to do it. Now my son's old enough to do it, so we both got back into it. It's a father-son project.
It's also a family affair for Nicole Holm and her father, Shane Horton.
I've never raced at all. I've usually been on the volunteer crew helping with the start and finish, but I've never raced.
What motivated you to participate?
There's always been the guys pushing to get more women involved, and I told them at Calcutta last year they needed to get their wives and girlfriends, and they all turned around and said, yeah, starting with you. So I told them I'd run this year, and so I did.
How do I feel about her racing?
Yeah.
About time.
Ask him how many years he's raced.
How many years have you raced?
Snow machines, none.
Holm, Horton, and the McLaughlins are four of a dozen locals who competed this year. Race organizer Kathy Lapp with the Chilcat Snowburners says that's the most locals in a long time.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Yeah, it's nice to see people getting involved again. Most of the time it was all out of town. We had a few years there was no one local racing, so it's really nice.
Lapp thinks one reason more locals are participating is because they're realizing smaller snow machines can hold their own against bigger ones. That makes it more affordable to compete. And there's another incentive. The Uglies of Haines is paying $200 toward every local resident's $350 entry fee. Gary Jacobson is the Uglies president.
Yeah, over the years, it was just, we're trying to keep the race going. And, you know, when there's only one local in the race, it's embarrassing is not the right word, but we wanted more participation with locals. It's our race. Let's get some locals in it.
Jacobson says a dozen is more than the Uglies anticipated, but they'll find a way to pay for it. On the flip side, there were a few less out-of-towners competing this year. Fairbanks resident Dan Dickerson was one of the dozen who did compete. This is his fifth Alcan race. Here's his advice for the newcomers.
You want to finish first, but first you want to finish, so work on the finish part.
$500. After the morning race, riders had a chance to rest before the evening banquet where organizers announced the results. The strong local participation showed in the rankings. Haines resident Chris Brooks won first place overall, with a total elapsed time of 1:23:14 and a speed of 111 miles per hour. Jack Smith Jr. came in second, and Fairbanks resident George Julian was third. Here's first place winner Brooks.
It wasn't the way I wanted to win. Jack had some problems. He led the whole way until about the last gas stop on the way back. Then he ran into some mechanical problems and had to slow down. But it was really fantastic being able to race with these guys.
Brooks says the road conditions were about average this year. Not great, but not terrible. He says it was fun to see more familiar faces competing. A dozen locals is the most he's seen in the 9 years he's ridden the Alcan. He says the best part of the race this year...
Being able to compete against Jack. That guy really knows his stuff, and to be, you know, just chasing the guy was pretty nice because he's a pretty savvy racer, and to get to battle against him there towards the end, even though it turned out that, you know, he had mechanical problems there. It still was really special to race against a guy that good.
Detailed race results can be seen on the Alcan 200 Facebook page. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org.